Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, I'm a TV presenter, and a gastronaut. Today, we're looking at technology and personalised nutrition. Science has now advanced to a point where we can look deep inside us as individuals and calculate individual nutrition and health needs. As a result, the personalised nutrition sector is rapidly expanding. But among the hundreds of apps and advisors out there, reliable research about the effectiveness of these tools is not easy to find. The health advice may be personal. The question is, will it work? So today we're going to look in depth at a project that's been gathering evidence on the effectiveness of personalised nutrition and analysing its worth both for individuals and the food system. It's called the Preventomics Programme and it's a huge research project. So I'm joined by Preventomics Technical Supervisor Josep Maria Del Bas. He's Senior Researcher in the Nutrition and Health Department at Eurocat, the coordinators of this project, and he's an expert on the mechanisms of nutrition. Welcome to the podcast, Josep. Great to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's fantastic to have you. Well, can you start by explaining the scale of the research that you've undertaken?
Yeah, well, this Preventomics project has been is one of the personalized nutrition projects funded by the European Commission during the 2018. The purpose of this project was to set a whole system for personalized nutrition based in the analysis of the performance of the metabolism and integrating all this information with genetic information, with information about dietary habits, and also some psychological based tools such as behavioral change programs, to assess whether this personalized nutrition approach can be better than standard recommendations provided by you know, guidelines and national guidelines and policies.
So before we get into the detail of the program, I've described a huge expansion in the personalized nutrition market. We've talked about personalized nutrition a lot on this podcast. Now, given everything that's out there, why is Preventomics needed? What's the problem you're trying to solve?
Well, there are different approaches for personalized nutrition. The current ones, and which are more scientific based, are mainly based on genetics right now. But we need to keep in mind that genetics provide valuable information about the predisposition, but does not consider the impact that environmental factors have on our physiology and the state of our metabolism. We have seen it in studies carried out in homozygotic twins, for example, showing that having the same genetic background, these twins can show different physiology and even predisposition to non-communicable diseases such as obesity, cardiovascular disease, and other alterations. So we started by thinking that considering the genetic background is useful, but then does not provide a clear overview to the current state of the subject. And Preventomics was designed to cover this gap, introducing the assessment of metabolism performance as, let's say, as a sensor of the impact of environmental factors in consumer physiology. Mm-hmm. So, despite we're not the first in considering this aspect of nutrition, we are proposing an innovative approach, taking advantage of new technologies, new analytical technologies known as omics, which allow us to have an overview of the metabolism, of the performance of the metabolism, combined with artificial intelligence and also behavioral change programs, diet assessment, and different information that can be integrated.
Now, metabolism and dietary and nutritional research and looking at the gut microbiome, these are all immensely complex, multi-layered system, multi-layer systems that we're sort of beginning to understand. I think there's a relatively clear consensus that there's a lot we don't yet get. So analysing health outcomes obviously requires many scientific disciplines. Do you really think that we're at the stage where genetics, gut analysis, behavioural science and psychology, all these things can be joined up to come up with meaningful results?
Well, this is what a lot of research groups and consortia are trying to do right now. But we need to consider that most of these disciplines are still under study, as you say. For example, we know the good microbiome seems to have an incredible potential as a tool for inducing changes in our physiology. If we can modulate a good microbiome, and actually microbiota transplantation has been used with therapeutic purposes with some success, and actually recent advances are really impressive. To the question, can we use it now to deliver nutritional recommendations, is something under research currently, as you said. And you know that research uses to be slow and requires a lot of resources, investment, and so on. So in some ambits, this might be difficult. But if we consider the part of these disciplines that can be actually used for analyzing the current state of a person, we can actually join them up. We have different tools to integrate different disciplines such as behavioral science, psychology, but also analysis of metabolism. So we can join them up by using these new artificial intelligence tools together with information and communication technologies. So altogether, despite being some of them in under research right now, can be actually integrated.
Now, I wonder from your point of view, and before you started this research, I mean, the basic overall general nutritional guidance is generally pretty clear. Eat less, exercise more, eat more fresh fruit and veg, cook for yourself, eat less red meat and eat less processed food. Did you think that there would be a significant difference in that between different people before you started looking at it?
Well, actually, there is an important body of scientific literature showing that individuals respond differently to the same dietary patterns, even in healthy subjects. For example, the postprandial response of a specific food or to a meal can be very different if we talk about how glucose behaves or triglycerides in our blood behaves. So this body of evidence is so important that cannot be ignored. I mean, with this basis, personalized nutrition, at least this serves the opportunities and research projects and resources to demonstrate whether it can work or not. As I said, this is something experimental, this is research, because from my point of view, this kind of personalization based on all this science that is currently under research is not able to reach right now the public. So in the current state, but if we can provide some tools that provide even small advantages over general nutrition guidance, mm-hmm. Those will be really welcome, because you know that nutrition is about prevention, and small changes, if can be sustained during years, might have a remarkable benefit in the future. So I was not expecting amazing results when designing the project, but quantifiable ones. So we could see whether our approach is at least useful, and most importantly, to assess how this initial exploration can be further optimized and improved to maximize the beneficial impact. We have to keep in mind that we are under research, and all personalization, personalized nutrition projects are now under research. So we need to keep calm and keep researching to find and to start optimizing these kind of tools.
Yeah. So let's have a little look at the study design. I believe you set up three scenarios, if we can look at them in turn. First of all, you worked with the retailer. What was the setup and what were you trying to find out?
Well, the one with the retailer was perhaps the most ambitious one, because the whole intervention was based on a generally healthy population. We had over 119 volunteers, 190 volunteers starting the program. The retailer intervention was based in a retailer, let's say, web page, in an e-commerce page, in which you have access to the whole catalog of the retailer. So you can elaborate the shopping list, but you can do it aided by the Preventonic system. So somehow you can personalize this shopping list, and the system is going to show you which items are good for you and which are not good, as well as some others which might be neutral. So it helps to you when elaborating this shopping list. So after having the different dietary patterns, genetics, metabolism analyzed, the volunteers were asked to elaborate their weekly shopping list through this e-commerce portal using the catalog of the retailer that was participating in there, and this was done during 4 months. So there was no interaction with dietitians, there was no other interactions or tools than the web portal itself, the e-commerce tool itself. And we set three different groups. A control group, which was using the same online e-commerce portal, the same system, but recommendations were general ones based on Mediterranean diet. Mediterranean diet was the healthy diet that we proposed as the base. There was a second group in which we call personalized nutrition, in which participants were receiving recommendations based on the analysis that we have done to the volunteers. And there was then a third group in which volunteers had the recommendation based in the same recommendation as in personalized nutrition group, but they had added a behavioral change program. So we call them the personalized plan group, right? So after four months, volunteers came back to our facilities. The different analyses were repeated, and everything was rechecked as well to see what had been the outcomes and how this system was modulating their metabolism and their dietary habits and behavior.
And what did your results show?
Well, first of all, what we saw was that this behavioral change program had a profound impact on adherence. So volunteers in the group containing this behavioral change program were more prone to keeping the study because it was quite difficult to maintain them.
I mean, that's one of the problems with nutritional studies generally, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. But in this case, this problem was even higher because we had general population, so it was not a population with any kind of risk factor. So it was even more difficult to maintain, to keep them in the program. So it was a real nice finding to see that this behavioral program had this beneficial effect.
Can you give me an example of those behavioral issues that were added to their group?
Yeah, actually it was quite simple to follow, but the science behind it is quite, you know, complex. This behavioral change is based on messages that arrive to the volunteer, and the objective is to change their perception and to accept in a better way any kind of change. In this case, it was dietary changes, right? Mm. It could be something as simple as, okay, tomorrow or today for lunch, just shift the place with another member of the family. So you usually sit in the same places on the table, so now you have to change. And these kind of small changes change in somehow the way you see everything, right? And allows you to accept this, in this case, the dietary changes that were proposed by this metabolic and genetic thing, right?
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And there are, well, different kind of messages, which are also personalized, because, in the initial assessment of the volunteer, they have to fill in a questionnaire related with their personality. So the personalities are classified in different kind of groups, and depending on the group, they send to you kind or another of messages. So there is personalization as well in this behavioral change program, and actually they worked so well. We could see that they worked so well.
I love that. So you used a carrot sort of rather than a stick, you know, rather than saying if you don't eat this you're going to die. You actually take an understanding of the environment and just shift it a little bit, which I that's really fascinating and probably a lot more effective than saying you're going to die, because everyone says that. Okay, second scenario was looking at personalized meal delivery. Can you explain a little bit about how that worked?
Well, this was a way of translating or integrating Preventomics in another business model, which was based on meal delivery at home, basically. So we worked with the company Simple Feast, and the thing was to design different kind of menus that could be delivered at home 6 days a week during 10 weeks. And actually, the intervention study in Spain with the retailer was in general population. In this case, the menu's delivery was in Denmark, and the objective was a weight loss program. So we had in this case two different groups, a control group receiving meals and another group receiving meals but personalized with the aid of the Preventomics system.
And what unfolded from this? What did you discover here?
Well, in this case, the objective was quite, in this case, the different diets that were provided to the volunteers were based on were vegetarian based. So there was this company was only with this kind of healthy diets. So the thing is that we use personalization over a dietary change based on healthy vegetarian diets. In this case, the shift toward healthy diets proposed by Simple Feast was so effective that we could not identify additional benefits of personalization. That this was something that could happen, no? that could be expected as well. No?
Yeah. So, why was that? Just the ease of the fact that your meal's delivered? I mean, why there's not a choice to be made and therefore you just do it? What do you think was the main impact?
Yeah, well, I think that we have to keep in mind that personalization in this case was so difficult, because we are talking about an extra effort in terms of logistics for the company to elaborate. Imagine what might involve preparing personalized weekly meals for 50 people during 10 weeks. So that was that was actually limiting in terms of personalization. And we think that this was the main thing in here.
Okay, so there was a final scenario which compared general nutritional advice, I believe, from a dietitian to personal advice. How personal were you able to be with this?
Well, this was a really nice challenge, because this was the design that allowed the highest degree of personalization. We were using a software from the company Meteda to facilitate the interaction between the dietitian and the final user. So this software allows real-time communication. So dietitians had the chance to interact with volunteers in real time, being asked about different aspects of the system, the science underlying the recommendations that were delivered. And also dietitians could challenge volunteers, asking the reason of their choices and so on. So
really a kind of feedback loop as well. That's
yes.
That is really personalized, isn't it?
Yes. There was personalization from every point of view. I mean, from the baseline diet that we had to adapt to the Mediterranean diet, to biochemistry, genetics, but also with this behavioral change program. And in this case, also dietitians had the chance to go really personal with the user. Mm-hmm. So as a result, we had very nice results. It was also a weight loss program. It was applied in as a bicentral study. There was one half of the volunteers that were treated in Poland by the group of, let me check, she was Professor Margolzata Malzewska-Malek. It's quite difficult for me to pronounce this.
You did very well.
But it was at the Jagiellonian University in Poland, and the other one was Professor Philip Calder at the University of Southampton in UK. So we had very nice results in terms of efficacy and weight loss reduction, mainly waist circumference reduction, which was the main variable. In the case of the Southampton study, we had to face, well, in all the studies, we had to face the worldwide pandemics of COVID-19. In the case of Southampton, they closed their facilities to all non-COVID studies. So we had some problems to finish that study, but even though we could observe really, really nice results. And actually what we can say, or what we have seen, is that personalization actually is superior to standard recommendations as provided by dietitians. And the personalized plan, including this behavioral change tool, has an added value. The results for this group having the behavioral change were even superior to the personalized nutrition group. So actually, we are quite happy with these results, even though the study in Southampton had to end up prematurely. But in both locations, we had a very nice response and very nice results.
So what surprised you by any of the results that you found? What was the thing that was most dramatic?
Well, the first thing that surprised me was that we could finish the whole project.
Just to do it at all.
Yes, I have to admit, we started in 2018. By setting up the whole system, the different kind of analytics, the network for sharing samples and so on. And we started with the interventions in 2020 and 2021, which was the core of the pandemics. So it was quite difficult. During the initial months, we thought that we would have to end up without the intervention studies, but then we started working on them and we could overcome all the different problems. But it was a real challenge. I mean, not only recruiting close to 600 volunteers, but also to share biological samples of blood, urine, saliva in the middle of a pandemic. So we had a very, very, a very potent, a very strong consortium, so we could made it, and that was the first thing that surprised me. But
and then in terms of the results that you found, what surprised you about that?
Yeah, well, the first thing was the consistency that we have found. I mean, those were or shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, but results, although expected, were very difficult to obtain. And we have seen a lot of consistency between the different nutritional interventions that we have done. Those in UK, Poland, and Spain, right? Those that resulted in positive outcomes are consistent in different aspects of the personalization, and mainly in which are the personalized dietary plans that have had more impact and more benefits in the population, and also in terms of metabolic benefits. Right? Mm-hmm. So that was quite surprising, because you know that these were different kind of studies, different implementations, different business models. So we were expecting quite different results, but we have seen a high consistency among them. And actually, one of the aspects that they found more surprising, and we have been talking during the interview, was the effectiveness of the behavioral change program. I mean, we already knew that these psychological tools are powerful, but seeing them in action and being able to assess them from a statistical point of view is really an impressive experience for someone like me, which I'm coming from a more biology-based background, not psychological. So seeing this kind of thing is really surprising and really nice.
Yeah, almost annoying. Hang on, I want the biology to do it, not the psychology. But okay, now the outcome of all this is a new online platform and service for personalized advice. How does it work, and is there anything that it gives you that you can't get elsewhere?
Well, it was designed to be a very simple system for the user. I mean, you have a few samples taken: blood, urine, and saliva. Then you spend like 1 hour with the dietitian, filling in some questionnaires, and in 1 month you can start the program, because everything has been done. But underlying this simplicity, there are different analytical services in different laboratories of metabolomics, genomics, and proteomics, and a whole technological architecture to integrate all this information to deliver personalized program through different kind of platforms. Yeah. So actually, I would say the novelty relies in the integration of all the kind of information that we can collect coming from different fields: metabolism, genetics, behavior, habits, and personality. So the integration of all this information makes the system unique right now. And another point is that it has been designed as a container, so the user can choose how they want to use their data. I mean, either providing the health data, which is more sensitive, for example, but providing them for health professionals or for applications related with health, or just providing the nutritional recommendations, for example, to a retailer app, for having a personalized shopping list done, or a personalized shopping experience. So the main thing is that it works as this pool of information, and it doesn't matter the nature of the application that can access and retrieve information depending on the purpose that it has.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned the sort of use of data and things like that, and this brings up concepts of trust. Do you think that the wider public will trust this service more than generalized health advice, and also trust you to handle their data? How do you go about making sure that that's something that's rock solid?
Yeah, well, these are two different points. I mean, the first one, we were really surprised by the incredible amount of people willing to participate in the project as volunteers. And so we analyzed as well consumer perception about such a system. And they really appreciated the scientific background to have a recommender system based on scientifically proven data, and also the psychological aspects of the system. That was something that was really appreciated. But on the other hand, we have this data sharing, and this is obviously concerning. So this was
very personal, and it's health information.
It's health information, so it's health data. So despite personal information, managing has been compliant with GDPR and following the different regulations and directives of the European Commission and so on, people is still concerned about that. Everything which has to be, or which is related with genetics and also with health data, is concerning, not only for personalized nutrition, but we have found this in other biomedical related projects. So yes, this is something to work around and see whether GDPR and new regulations are sufficient, or need to go a step further in this sense to gain the trust of consumers.
So that's a sort of a part of the project that's still in flux, I guess. Now, this is a food industry podcast, so I'm wondering what potential Preventomics has for the wider food industry. Does it have implications for manufacturers and processors and distributors and retailers to sort of feed into this? I mean, it sounds like a way of business taking over health, but is there a role for industry in this as well?
Yes, for sure. I mean, first of all, we'll not just Preventomics, but personalized nutrition as a whole. If we think about a scenario like the retailer one, there are recommendations about what's better and what should be avoided by you. This means that the system is some kind of proactive, recommending what to buy. And these are not necessarily good news for all manufacturers and processors or distributors. Yeah. But if we go a little bit farther, a step farther, we have to consider as well that the scenario that is proposed by personalized nutrition also represents new opportunities for food industry. Personalization means that food industry will have more information about consumer needs and preferences. So this might open up new doors for innovation, for new business models, and also in some way reinforce the trust of consumers in food, and consumers might be, if all this works, consumers might be more aware of the link between food, diet, and health. So changing a little bit the relationship that consumers have with food, so this might be also an advantage, because we can understand that food is not only about getting fit, but also about health, and this might have an impact on the added value of food products.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess that remains to be seen a little bit. That's part of the future of all this. Now, much of the world is in the grip of a general obesity epidemic. It's a huge problem identified by the WHO. A major cause of this, however, is poverty. Do you think that this technology will benefit the people that need it most, the people without much money, or is it tied to modern technology that costs money?
Yes, well, actually, as it is, all the personalized nutrition projects and research is based somehow in some kind of expensive technology, either omics analytical technologies or sensoring technologies or even artificial intelligence, right? But I think that if we go a step further and we think in a near future, I think the personalization has the potential to change the perception, as I said before, that we all have about food, and understand that diet is tightly linked with health. So even for policymakers. So, but these policymakers need to have something tangible. They need to have results and need to be sure that actually personalized nutrition has something to do. But if personalized nutrition research can demonstrate that by adopting these solutions, the burden of the national health systems due to obesity can be significantly lowered, we will be in the right way to have more adoption of this kind of technologies. And going to the people with more needs, the more vulnerable parts of the society, well, perhaps we cannot talk about application of metabolomics or these wide genetic studies to all the population, because these technologies are currently expensive, despite they used to lower their prices as they evolve, right? But if we think about this evolution and we think about increasing the knowledge about personalized nutrition, it's possible that in the near future we can achieve a certain degree of personalization, but without the need of applying all these technologies. Artificial intelligence is providing a lot of nice results in these fields. And with these kind of tools, we can find associations. If we have the knowledge about personalized nutrition, about the effects on metabolism and so on, and with other parameters that are easily measurable, then with these artificial intelligence tools, we can establish nice associations and go to some degree of personalization with a low cost. And you try to induce even small changes, even slight changes, but you know that with this significant impact, because if we can maintain them for years, so we can have this this beneficial impact. In general, I think that it's that in the upcoming years we will see different results coming out from personalized nutrition projects. It's still under research, and we will see what can be used and what can be, you know, avoided in order to lower prices and increase accessibility to different kind of personalization aspects.
And to some extent, once it's launched, it's an ongoing research project because the data is built into the operation of the platform, and so it should just get better and better, and we should get more informed about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the platform is launched, the project, the study is complete. What's next for Preventomics?
Well, by now we have a lot of data. We have gathered a lot of data. Actually, the execution phase has been finished, but we will need some time to analyze all the results that we have. Study the intellectual property protection when required, and finally to publish and make these results accessible to all community, to all society, not only scientific, but the European Commission request of doing publishing results in open access. So we will need, first of all, to get some conclusions, to publish these conclusions, expose them to the public, and then let's see whether we can continue evolving this platform. We have, as I said, it was an innovation, research and innovation action. So there are some very promising results, but obviously we have detected some aspects of the platform and the system that can be improved and can be optimized to maximize the effects, and this is what we are going to do in the coming months.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to reading more, and good luck with all of your projects. Josep Maria Delbas, thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, thank you very much for inviting me.
It's a great pleasure. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. For example, we've recently recorded another episode looking at the latest trends in personalised nutrition, asking where might the sector be heading. To find it, go to the site and search personalised nutrition. Follow to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And thank you so much for listening.